finish the thoughts on Galatians 3, 23, 29 by talking to you about the newness that we have in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, as we open your word and come to you as the maker of all things new, we ask that you would reveal yourself to us in this capacity that we might have encouragement and joy in Jesus' name. Amen. So Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 1:19, there is nothing new under the sun. And I thought about that passage and thought, oh, in what kind of a world would that saying be true? And what I come up with, of course, is 9th century B.C. That was Solomon's world. That's the world that he looked around, and it had missing in it the incarnation or the coming of Christ, so none of the redemptive work of God had been done yet. That would have been a new thing. And we're looking forward in Solomon's time to the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul writes of a new world when he declares, now that faith has come. And so I want you this morning to direct your thoughts to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to do it in a particular way. There are many ways that you can look at that. I want you to put it through the lens of, he is the maker of all things new. He makes all things new. He is the making of all things new. Something really new has really happened. For when Christ came, we were given better principles and better results than we had under the Old Testament. The law took us up to this threshold. It led us to Christ, and we witnessed this huge change in the cosmos. Now, justified by faith in Christ, we have become sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is about as new as you could ever be. Christ gave to those who believed in him, catch this, the power to become sons of God. And when he spoke that, it was an act of creation. It was technically a second creation or a creation upon creation. And because I don't want us to glide by that too easily, I want you to think it required just as much divine power, omniscience, as the first creation required in the beginning. Yes, he makes all things new. So I want to catalog some of the ways in which things are new, in which things the new is really new. All right? So it is new because it was established on these new and better principles, as I said just a moment ago. It's a new infallible covenant, newly established on his merit and what that merit achieves. It was new in terms of the virgin birth. It was new in terms of a new fashion. It was original, it was unique, it was unprecedented. And Christ came into this world without the taint of sin, and that too was new. Exceptional. Unique. He is the beginning of the creation of God, it says in Scripture. He is the Amen, the true and faithful witness. And then it repeats this, he is the beginning. He, Christ, is the beginning. He began it all, and he is still beginning. And you, Christian, you have been created by the Word of God out of the mouth of the Son of God, who is the eternal Word, who Jesus truly is. And that has made you new. You are new if you are in him. By faith, we have been begotten in a day. Wow. It came about with new doctrine. You say, new doctrine? Yes, new doctrine. The gospel is that new doctrine. And it occasioned new music. He is the new song. He is the rejoicing that was prophesied of Jerusalem centuries before. And And at his birth, suddenly the heavens were filled with new anthems of praise, glorifying God. This was a new revelation. And it was introduced by new methods, preaching and teaching and testifying. It propounded new laws. You have heard of old, but I say unto you. It initiated new customs, new sacraments, a new charter, and new riches. In other words, it was new, and a living way. He had pierced the veil, victorious over the grave, celebrating resurrection power. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, this does not happen any other way. I want to say wonderful. Newness comes with regeneration as a work of the Holy Spirit, which with Christ brings about the glory of God. And that's why we have spring. And that's why we have babies that are conceived. And that's why people are born. Just think about that. And this transformation is not a development. I want to stress that. The redeemed man is not a natural man sobered up. It's not a recovering addict. He is not a reformed sinner. He hasn't been reprogrammed or conditioned or trained or educated or reintegrated through a therapeutic intervention, whatever that means. And there's more to it than just a rescripting of one's life narrative and a talking cure. We don't become any of those things. We become an entirely new creature. We go from a human being to a being in Christ. We go from a human being to a being in Christ. When people ask you who you are, you should tell them that you are a being in Christ. You are a person in whom the being of Christ has been taken up. He is being in your being. And that is really new. And what results from that is a higher order of being, a new spiritual order of being. And I say to you, it transcends everything earthly, material, and physical. We are awed by a beautiful sunset. And as beautiful as it is, it's only natural. It's all optics and the refraction of light and light waves diffused and scattered. Right. But in heaven, we are going to see such resurrection splendor as to transcend the most beautiful of beautiful sunsets could ever be imagined. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose in his glorified body, and a lot of people haven't reflected perhaps much on that. But what I want to suggest to you is that his resurrection splendor was identical to his transfiguration aspect. How he appeared to the disciples on the top of that mountain is how he appeared to them after he had risen from the dead. Because what had to happen is they needed to recognize him for who he is, the Son of God, full of glory. And that is what they saw. And you know what's really great? You're going to see it too. That's what you're going to see. But in the meantime, brothers and sisters, we are the glimpses of him that others get to see in this world. For now, we are it. All right. In the first creation, everything was new. Is there any debate about that? Anyone questioning that? Good. Uniquely, distinctly created. By the way, creation came as is. I love to say that because we use as is in so many interesting ways. But what I don't think people have thought about is that the second creation is just like that. Listen, when God created things in the beginning, he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. You picked up on that, didn't you? Over and over again. What did he say when he executed the second creation? Did he say it was good? Well, that's not what Scripture says. It says he rejoiced over the redeemed. He said it was good in the first case, but in the second case, he is rejoicing, actively rejoicing over you and me as we are born again. And that's because he has absolutely, wonderfully changed us. You are no longer what you were before. Well, you say, okay, I guess I can believe that. I guess I've been through the process. I know that what can't be mended must be ended. Amen? And what I want to suggest to you is that the process by which we go from one state of being to another is this one, death and resurrection. You need to die to your old self and be raised to your new self. Simultaneously, apart from him, everything has waxed old, is beginning to perish. You are coming into newness of life, and it is passing away. The world cannot renew its strength. The world cannot renew their new. Renewing the new is what the new do. Thus we are to understand that the offices of Moses are now at an end, and by new, we do not merely mean more recent, we mean utterly, completely different. You are a new creature in Christ. You live in another world, in another kingdom. You live in the earth to come. As in, or in other, or a different order. Therefore, this new creation is something altogether new. It's never been seen before. Special and distinctive, utterly unique. You can say that to yourself in the mirror because it's true. I am not who I used to be. I am completely and utterly new in Christ. Perhaps I should celebrate myself as something supra or post-carnal. I am an absolutely different reality. So you are not simply refashioned, reassembled, new and improved, like some kind of laundry detergent or a latest version of a vaccine or medicine or the latest edition of a textbook labeled so as to promote sales, new and improved. You are not an enhanced being, a reformulated, an augmented being. You're not even a fortified being. You are a new creature in Christ. Wow. This is so far beyond a restart or a rebounding, or as our political world likes to say, a reset. It's so far beyond a remake or even a radical makeover. It's beyond a new development. It is beyond modification and alteration. It is even beyond mutation, which is this strange god of the evolutionist. It is newer than the last generation of iPhone. It is not something that is kept in stock in the warehouse out back and brought out of storage and repurposed to put back on the shelves and sell again. It's new. And by new, the language we prefer to employ is called into being or created from above or created ex nihilo. So out of an absence of everything that would make precedent or serve as a prototype, we were created by the living, powerful, transforming Word of God. You think about that. You are not the product of education. You're not even the product of re-education. You are not the product of socialization. You are not the product of brainwashing or psychological conditioning. It's not something that's latent in us so that these educational theories of enfoldment are useless to explain what it means to be a new creature in Christ. Social causation and socialization cannot explain this. It doesn't come from your genes. It isn't in your DNA. It isn't there to be modified or engineered or re-engineered or any such thing. It is, if I may say it plainly, a second birth. You must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born from heaven. You must be born in Christ. A womb was involved in your first birth, but not this time. This time we are born of the Spirit, because the natural has been superseded by the spiritual in the coming of Christ. A change of essence is what we need, and a change of essence is what the Spirit of Christ gives us. He himself, being new, makes you and me new. You are a new creature in Christ. It's a universal change. It's a perversive change. It's a total change. You are not made new partly. You're not partly new. No, you are wholly and entirely new. You are a new creature in your entirety. You see, God has chosen divinely, supremely, to take from the material world, out of material stuff of grass and herbs and animal stock or dust or anything physiological. He's decided to work with whatever that is to create a companion for himself, designed for eternity, designed for completion, designed for purity, designed for peace and love and rest. We have been Sabbathized. In heaven, circumcision counts for nothing, and new life counts for everything. Let me reiterate and review so that you might be impressed with what we're saying. You are in all parts changed. You are not in all parts perfected. That's coming. You have a new heart, new eyes, new ears, new tongues, new hands, new arms, new feet, but they are the feet of the inner man. Enlightenment is not salvation. Mastery is not salvation. Learning cannot supply it. A new brain doth not a new man make. Gratification and satisfaction are not salvation. Adoption as sons is a transition. It's an assimilation to everlasting unity in Him. We are new creatures in Christ. And that happens first through the representation of Christ, who is our federal head. Yeah, we explain that by saying what He went through for us, we went through with Him. Let me say that again. What He went through for us, we go through with Him. Do you wonder what that means? It means that when He died, you died. When He died to sin, you died to sin. And because you are identified with Him in His death, when He rises, you rise. You don't rise as the old you, you rise as the new you. Christ acted for us. And then He made us beneficiaries that through faith in Him, we could have the benefit of what He had gone through. Now, it is true that grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. And it's true because it was true in Him. Did you catch that? Grace reigning through righteousness unto eternal life. We become new creatures, secondly, through what we call appropriation. It is written in Scripture, the law had no claim on Him. He said that about Satan. He has nothing to do with me. It has no claim on us either. Did you understand that? That when you are new in Christ, you are done with the law and you are done with Satan. And when we, by faith, accept the sentence of death, confess our complicity in sin, then there is a decree in heaven. It goes forth from heaven. Even as the flesh shall die and the lust thereof, you are by the word of God empowered to mortify all your evil desires and lusts. From this day on, you are to live above them, not under them. Indeed, on our behalf, the sword of truth pierces the loins of sin and it expires forthwith. You say, whoa, wait a minute. That's a little graphic, Pastor. Yeah, let's get a little graphic. Let's understand what happens to sin through the sword of the Spirit. It is pierced through the loins and dies. Yes, even the hearts of all God's enemies are pierced with His arrows, and this is the death that Jesus has gifted us with, the death to all of that. And on the basis of that death, Paul can declare, and so can you, the world is dead to me. The world is dead to me because I am dead to the world. And now from heaven, there comes new life, direct from God into our supine souls. And He raises us from the dead to new life. And now we live and we grow and we bear incorruptible fruit. New conversations follow. New delights appear. New objects of desire come into view. New principles take hold. Yes, indeed, all things suitable to the new creature come into being at that moment. And we are made instinct with holiness, and we bear the scent of eternity and the aroma of life unto life. And a deepening love of Jesus comes from our captivated hearts, and new hopes are framed in an escalating novelty that never ends. You are forever new in Christ. You are the new Adam. You have new life. You've entered into a new covenant. You live by new principles. There's a new spirit in you. New thoughts, new words, new deeds, because you're a new being. It is Christ who lives in me. What does God do that God alone can do? When God does what He alone can do, the world rejoices. I want to refer you to a scripture, Isaiah 65, looking at verses 16 to 21, particularly, surely you may join me if you wish and read along, because this is what is coming to pass, amen, with rejoicing and gladness. Listen to this. Because he who blessed in the earth, because he who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth will swear by the God of truth. Because the former things are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my sight, behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. And the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. Now God is a bit into repetition here. It's rejoicing and gladness and rejoicing and gladness and rejoicing and gladness over and over again. So I hope we take the hint. Verse 19, I, God speaking, will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. Rejoice and be glad. And there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days, for the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach to 100 will be thought accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. That is what is coming to pass. And the point of all this is that everything changes now that faith has come. Which is when he finished that rescue mission for which he was sent. Remember the redemption of Adam's fallen race? A brave new world comes into being, brimming with power and potential and novelty. Behold, I create Jerusalem, rejoicing, and her people, gladness. The sun of righteousness has risen. The winter of sorrow and sadness and sin is melting away like a spring snow. Its shapes, its humps, its banks, its covering, they all evaporate in him. He is, in a sense, what he does. He is creator and he is savior. So this morning I want to finish by saying and singing with you Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God. Amen.